Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson. Stay tuned for the next hour as Sue explores the human psyche, what makes us tick, and how to live better, more fulfilled, and more meaningful lives. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program on 101.9 High FM. My guest today is Michael Seif, and our topic is age a number? And strangely enough, on the news now, Lindy, we actually mentioned, is age just a number? And also the use of time. So we'll bring that into our conversation. But let me tell you a bit about Mike. Michael is an executive director, the strategy and operations of the Senior Living Space, and it's the most amazing broad-based circle that they've created. But Michael has 20 years executive experience. He is a strong leader, skilled in strategic planning, aged care, operations management, facilities, social entrepreneurship. He's co-founder of the of both the Circle of Senior Living, and his passion for senior living is very, very clear. He was the group CEO of the Gebre Kadisha for 8 years, and he managed an annual budget of 300 million rand. And they serviced 1,000 full-time residents. He effectively and efficiently managed multiple facilities and was responsible for the implementation of a successful restructuring and turnaround strategy, as well as the master plan for upgrading all campuses. Michael was the national director also of Ought South Africa, whose vision was educating for life and mission, making people employable, creating employment opportunities. And he has a lot of corporate experience, having headed the HR department at Discovery. He holds the following qualifications: MBA, Honours in Industrial Psychology, BA Law and Psychology, internationally accredited mediator and executive coach. He's married to Amanda. They have 6 wonderful children. And I have Mike sitting next to me in our new offices. And hello, Mike. How
Thanks,
are you?
Sue. Well, it sounds good to you know, to hear some of the achievements, but really I think it's all of a sudden I realize that I'm over 50. And you know, the other day somebody when I was away, somebody called me and referred to me as Oom, which is very respectful, but I realized I'm in that category. And what does that mean for me, and how do I interact? So I'm looking forward to having a chat about aged and is age a number, because I think we're all getting there slowly, which is wonderful and is a blessing.
I agree with you, and Albert Einstein says, do not grow old. No matter how long you live, never cease to stand like curious children before the great mystery into which we were born.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program, and my guest today is Michael Seif. And Mike was just saying that he suddenly realized when he turned 50 that he was getting older, and someone called him Oom. Well, I must admit, Mike, I've been called many things in my life, not always things that I wanted to be called. But I hope your mom, by the way, is listening in, because reading all your credits, it's absolutely wonderful.
Well, I'm glad you included that for my mom to get some nachas, so thank you, Sue.
Now, Mike, your mom and dad are living in Israel, and I know that you've just come back from living in Israel. Tell me, did you go to various old age homes or assisted living homes? What do they call them there?
Okay, so yeah, so I have I've recently come back from visiting Israel, and then a few months ago, you know, periodically have been there and have done some visits for, you know, the more PC term now is senior living estates as opposed to an old age home.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in Hebrew anyway, so I think that nuance is actually lost. It's okay. And what was interesting in Israel, and you can compare Israel to South Africa in many ways, and the society, the way of life is so different. Typically in Israel, senior living, most people do try and stay in their own homes and age in place. That's the terminology. You age in place in your own home. But there are these facilities which are wonderful and have got the most high-tech and really well thought through programs and care facilities. So I'll talk to two things. One is the actual facilities there, and also the staying at home.
Yes, I wanted to know that as well.
So the staying at home, I think the reason why people do stay at home longer, I mean, there's...
In Israel
in particular, is because the actual environment, the society, is much more geared up towards being comfortable at home. So there's a lot of transport, as an example, public transport, activities, communal activities that are happening for older people who are living in their homes. They don't have to, and safety and security as well. You know, they're okay in their apartments, and they'll grow old in their apartments. Of course, their needs may change and therefore need different things, either in the home or at some point move into a facility. I think where South Africa is dissimilar to South Africa is that one of the main factors and why people cannot or choose not to age in place and age at home in South Africa is the security and mm-hmm. safety element, as well as just the usual electricity, water, and you know, that level of amenities that would be more and more challenging if one would to stay at home, you know, in Joburg, Cape Town, wherever it is. And therefore, that's one of the factors, and we'll get to others as well, but that would be one of the factors why people in South Africa would tend to move to residential...
A living centre.
Correct. Mm.
You know that when I was working at hospice many years ago, we used to tell our clients, if they had lost a partner, especially right. the woman, if possible, to stay in their apartment or their home for a full year, because otherwise what was happening is that they kept searching and searching right. for some sort of security or looking for the person they had lost.
Yes, and not getting that closure.
And they would keep, and my mom herself, I remember coming up from Durban, she came up here and she kept traveling because she was searching, she was going overseas, she just couldn't settle until she went into a retirement village.
Right.
But we all always said that they could only stay there if it was safe.
Yes.
If it was not safe, then obviously we would encourage right. movement.
Yes, and I think, I mean, moving into a retirement place or senior living home should be exactly that. It should be a home. You know, at Circle, we've got a very clear focus on trying to make somebody's stay at us just a home away from home.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, and it is a dreaded word, and unfortunately most places are institutions. You know, you don't want to be moving into an institution where supper, you know, is at 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. and that's it. It's your home. If you want, you know, a different meal for breakfast or for supper, you should have that ability and that choice.
But choice. Mm.
And if we think of those type of facilities, we look at, you know, Maslow's hierarchy, and there's the safety and security needs and the physical needs. And of course, when you grow older, you know, some of the physical needs become more apparent. But I think there's another element, and as we go up Maslow's hierarchy, that other element of emotional, and whether that is a feeling of loneliness, and we saw this and we've discussed this before in terms of COVID, in terms of just being alone, and particularly as one gets older and maybe your peers have passed away or moved away, family, you know, estranged, etc. And so that's one element of emotional distress that one may have. The other one, I think, which is really important is a feeling of being redundant. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have had a successful life, whether it's in corporate, family, a mixture, community, get a certain age, and you know, an 83-year-old guy said to me the other day, "Oh, you don't need me. I feel redundant." And I thought that was like how sad and how hopefully untrue. Although the society that we live in, at beyond a certain stage, will leave it to the youngsters or leave it to somebody else. And I think that is where a facility needs to tap into that and really, really focus in somebody's what they can give and somebody's aspirations. And then if we turn Maslow's hierarchy upside down, you know, instead of having that self-actualization right at the top, if we make that more fundamental, like Viktor Frankl, and I know, Sue, you're a guru and you know so much about Viktor Frankl, but I think that is, you know, the search for meaning and the being able to give. That is certainly something that we at Circle and elsewhere should really be focusing on, giving the community, whether they're living in actual, you know, retirement homes or facilities, or whether they're living at home, giving them the opportunity to be able to contribute, because they can and they should, and it's good for them, it's good for us. You know, I can still say us because I'm only 50 something. You know, it's good for the community. And I think that's where maybe we can learn more from Israel and why there's things happening there. Now, I'll chat about something I can have personal experience in terms of the war in particular and actually giving people roles and responsibilities that actually keep people young.
Absolutely, Mike. And you know, the last few talks that I've actually given have been by Holocaust survivors, and what they are doing still. And they're, you know, they could have been born during the Holocaust. That's what was happening for two of them. But they are so busy reaching out, they're talking, they have found a greater purpose right now to share their story, to show a country that is battling at the moment with unbelievable trauma, to show them there is that resilience. And I think that's something we can mention just now, is that resilience. And also, as you say, that purpose. That Frankl speaks about, you know, finding that purpose which is greater than yourself.
Exactly, and I think that's applicable at all ages. For some reason, we tend to, at a certain age, we tend to go back to the Maslow's hierarchy. Okay, as long as you're safe, as long as you're secure, as long as your physical ailments are taken care of, and I'm not negating that, of course, that is important, and but that other element of esteem and self-actualization and purpose, that is, I think, is the differentiator. And that is something that we push in our, you know, at Circle, and something that we should be sharing. And what's interesting is this new generation of older person is a different generation. You know, it's a baby boomers, and actually they themselves are demanding this. And I think that's great, because that will shift the dial from saying, okay, I've had a tough 60 odd years, therefore I'm going to go sit down and retire and put my feet up. Rather, now's my second opportunity to give even more.
So important that.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program on 101.9 High FM. My guest today is Michael Siep, and we're talking about, is age a number? And if you'd like to contact us, please do so on SMS 34519, or you can telegram us on 069, I keep getting this wrong, 061 895 1019. Thanks, Craig. Craig quickly held it up. We're in new studios here, and I'm not quite used to it. I'm so pleased Michael's sitting next to me, because I'm getting old, Mark.
Now, so I wish people could be as active and playing such an important role for the community.
Thanks, Mark. All right. Now, tell me about what you found that people were doing in Israel that you would like to bring in to your own circle. Of life, of living.
So I think what I saw, and I can talk for personal experience, whether it's my brother's in-laws who were actively involved in packing things and going to visit, you know, army people, or I mean my parents involved in different things. My mom was at Aroma. I don't know if people know the Aroma. It's a lovely bakery, and you can get coffee and etc. over there. It's a whole chain of these stores, and actually the one particular store near where my mom lives, the owner of the store, of that whole chain, designated that store to be the sandwich maker for the soldiers for the whole country.
Good so heavens.
Every day there was multiple volunteers and of all age groups, but there was a huge contingent, my mom one of them, who were over the age of 70, coming in and making sandwiches. So what I mean, besides the actual practical thing that some army guy in the middle of nowhere got a homemade lovely sandwich, that was one impact obviously, but if we look at that group of people who were volunteering, what it did for them, what it did for my mom, was give a sense of purpose every day to say, I'm actually doing something and it's something important, and somebody out there who I may or may not know will actually benefit from that. And while during that process, I'm actually engaging and interacting and actually being part of something much bigger than me. And what would my alternative be anyway? Watching TV, doing that, so it really gave that sense of purpose. And I mean, I saw that and chatted with my mom particularly about that. And I think that's a huge lesson, for us all. And I know in Circle, one of the things that we ask our residents is what charities, what in social community kind of initiatives have you been involved in your life or would want to get involved in? And we need to make sure that continues. And actually, there's a shift of responsibility. As opposed to saying, oh no, I'm moving into senior living, I don't have to clean the pool, I don't have to do this, which is right, they don't have to do all of that. But there's something important that a person moving in doesn't just forego everything in their life. That special thing that they used to do or always wanted to get involved in, whether it happened to be a sandwich making chain that we had recently, where all these different dry goods were packed and our residents did it themselves. And why? Yes, the output is good because that recipient gets it, but more importantly for us and why we look at it from a Circle perspective is, as we've been discussing, give that person and facilitate a sense of purpose and meaning and activity, so it's physical, mental, emotional, interacting with people, as opposed to the alternative, which is redundancy, loneliness, all those negative emotions.
And Mark, what about if people come in with their own skills? For instance, they might be a writer or a baker, or they might have all of that. Do you believe that needs to be encouraged if they do move into a retirement home or?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the change. So I think that is a change that's happened. Previously, and the thinking, and unfortunately still is around in South Africa today, is that we, the home, in inverted commas, we, the facility, will do everything. And we tell you when to eat. We tell you when to have a bingo evening or this, whatever else. As opposed to what we've tried to do and have done is reverse that. So what does the person want? Oh, you're a woodworker. Okay, we'll make sure that there's a woodwork facility for you. You're a great baker and that is your passion. Well, you actually train our chef or train, or have an interaction with the other residents who are keen on swapping recipes and doing things. And actually make the facilities or senior living places of today, and in Israel I saw it as well, are looking to turn that we become just a facilitator of it and not the provider. Of course, we know that there may be limitations and challenges along the way, whatever else, and maybe the chiffon cake, isn't as light as it normally is, or used to be, whatever the case is. But our role, as opposed to being just a provider and just doing everything for somebody, should be actually facilitating and enhancing what they love doing, what's their passion, and let the person actually share that with other people.
Wonderful. My aunt, I was particularly close to her. She didn't have children on her own, and my cousin and I were very close to her, and we were just so impressed. She was living in Howick,
right,
and she was living in a retirement village with her husband, but she decided that these people were sitting around doing absolutely nothing, and she said skinnering all the time. That was all they did. So she decided, and in those days it was not really known, but she decided she was going to get hold of different people from other communities, black communities, Zulu women. There were people who worked in shops and things like that she'd got to know.
Right.
And they all had something to give. So she decided to start a community of these people. It was absolutely amazing.
She was ahead of her time.
She was way ahead of her time. But you know that the one woman, one Zulu woman, was a poet, but didn't really ever share her work. And my aunt encouraged her to share her work. And that opened up almost like a poetry workshop.
Wonderful.
That other people wanted to also. So it was just wonderful. Right. Craig has just passed me a message. Just let me read it. It's from Mary Ann. Hi. Oh, sorry. Okay. Hi, Mary Ann. That's so nice of you. Michael's just moving this across for me a bit. We're in a new studio, so we're just working it. Hi, Sue. Getting older is a reality, however, not a death sentence. Depending on your mental, physical, psychological, and spiritual health, of course. I find it took me 3 solid days of silent contemplation to press the reset button and wager a new trajectory to take. Mary Ann from Northcliffe. Wow. Thank you, Mary Ann. That is so true. What do you think about that?
I mean,
resetting our own button.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary Ann. I think the important thing is that you contemplated it and it was an active decision. Instead of things just happening and becoming a victim of old age or a victim of whatever the circumstance is, you actually physically took a few days out and actually contemplated that and proactively said, I'm going to reset that. Maybe it's not reset to, I don't know, when you ran the 40K marathon a few years ago, but maybe it's to something else. And I think that is so important. It's a real cognitive process and needs that decisiveness and contemplation. I think, in fact, while it just reminds me that there's this book called Outlive. It's Dr. Attia. It's actually, it's a fantastic book. It's written by a medical doctor, so it's quite intense from a medical side, although it's written for the layperson, so it is easy enough to understand. And he talks about that people are growing older and living longer, so it's called Outlive. It talks about longevity. But it's not only the quantity of years, it has to be the quality of years. Mm-hmm. So you talk about it from a physical and nutritional and exercise side of things, but also from an emotional and a spiritual. I mean, you mentioned spiritual as well there in that message. And just how we need to start working towards that at an early age. Mm-hmm. We actually have to start changing our lifestyle because we are typically going to grow older and for longer, and we want that longevity to be quality as well as quantity.
Mm. And you know, that's something that Viktor Frankl does talk about, that noetic part of our lives, which is the spiritual part.
Right.
And that at each stage of our lives, it's that demand quality of life. Life is demanding something of us at every single stage. Mm. And at certain stages, it's difficult to actually reach the goals that you want to reach. You've got to reset, as yes. Mary Ann said, and in your head say, right, what am I really capable of?
Right.
What should I be doing?
Yeah.
And you know, just on that note, Mike, at our synagogue, we have a kaluki,
right.
a kaluki session that's opened. And I cannot tell you, I often get there a little bit earlier because I go on to a lecture by the rabbi, and so often I get there a bit earlier, and I do so on purpose because I love seeing these people coming out, mostly women, but the occasional man as well, and they are chatting and they're smiling. It's a wonderful morning that they've all participated in. They share news, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I was once asked to give a talk at our parents' home, and It was a time of flu. It was an epidemic of flu, not COVID. It was flu. It was years and years ago, and they asked me to go and give this talk because a lot of people had lost their golf. I mean, not golf. Bridge. Someone in their bridge club, or at their table, their dinner table, and I went to go and give this talk. But you know, they didn't want to talk about. They expected their people of their age to die.
Right.
So they were not mourning that. They might have missed them, but not mourning that. What they were mourning was their children who had left.
Right.
and their children had gone either to Cape Town or London, Australia, wherever. Yeah. That was their loss.
Yeah.
And I think that's the target, the target group that so needs yeah. that circle.
Yeah, and I do think that is, I think it is more highlighted in the South African context mm. where kids have moved, you know, and relatives have moved away, whether it's immigration or immigration, and I think that highlights that loneliness. Mm, so mm. whether it is trying to substitute, in inverted commas, that and try and still have camaraderie and giving at schools, at whatever else, seeing other people's grandchildren, maybe not your own, I mean, that is hard.
Very hard.
But fortunately, we do have technology. Fortunately, we do and try and facilitate meetings and discussions with the families, and just to know the days, you know, what mm-hmm. happens on a daily basis, as opposed to, you know, we only interact, you know, once a month, and how's mom doing, whatever. So it is definitely a challenge and highlighted in South Africa. I think while you're talking, I was also just thinking about the individual who's having to reset or reframe something, and I think so much is dependent on how that person actually can reframe the situation. And I mean, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes you have a polite kid, you know, standing up at a bus or in a room,
if you're lucky,
and giving the older person a seat. Now, that older person, and you know, I was brought up well, so I try to do that. but I was just thinking more recently, well, how does that older person feel? That yes, they actually say thank you, because I actually need to sit down. My knees are sore, and that's, or sometimes it's like, no, I'm not old. I'll stand up and be. But I think there's an element, and as an example of reframing, that older person needs to sits down. They can actually re-look at that and think, oh no, one way of looking at it, I'm old, I'm all of these negative thoughts, and therefore I have to sit. Or they can say, look, that's my reality, I can sit, and that's a youngster, that's fine. But reframe and say, you know what, I've actually just given a gift to that youngster. He or she has been able to do a kind deed, has learned a lesson, and actually acted it, and actually I'm building society, I'm building community.
Isn't that lovely? A lovely thought.
Yeah, so
just
a way.
Twisting that.
Exactly. Mm. And I think those are the techniques that somebody who's faced with any challenge, obviously today we were talking specifically from age is a number, I think reframing the situation, reframing the, you know, the circumstance. We have some people at Circle, this was interesting, a lady said to me, she just recently moved in, she said to a colleague of mine, I wanted to hate it when I moved in here, but I can't, I love it. You know, like, she came in with this perception and whatever that meant, judgments, all of this, or her family, whatever the case was, I'm moving into, in inverted commas, an old age home. And actually, she loves it, and she was insightful enough to say, you know what, I actually am reframing it, I'm actually enjoying it, and this is the best next chapter of my life. So I think that's an important aspect that all of us, and all of the older listeners out there, need to actually take cognizance of, and actually say what certain circumstance that may be frustrating me or feels negative, how can I reframe that?
That's so true. I went, I met a whole lot of people who were from Germiston, actually, that we'd known, you know, a long, long time ago, and have seen them on and off through the years. Yeah. And what was really fascinating was that three couples had moved into retirement homes.
Right.
And they were on a high. Yeah. The one man I thought would never be able to ever move into anything like that, he loves it. He's going around, he's fixing cupboards, he's knocking nails in to hang pictures up. He's feeling needed.
Exactly.
And, you know, so often when I was young, I mean, 60 was definitely the age that you retired.
Sure.
And how many people actually died then, because they retired with nothing to live for, but they had plans, like they were going to do this, they were going to do that when they retired, but they had not actually found within themselves a greater reason to retire. And I think that's something very important, Mike, is to reframe in your mind, we are all going to retire at some stage.
Sure. And what is it retiring from? Is that just a profession, or is it retiring from my life? No, it's not. You've got more, you're more than your job description, you're more than your family description, whatever role you may play. You actually got so much more to give, and I think that is that redundant, being redundant, risk or fear. Mm-hmm. And I think one has to dig deep and reframe it and press the reset button, as we've heard. And also, I think from society or community and facilities point of view, we have to create that gap. We have to create the vacuum so that somebody can actually give and have meaning.
And that person has to know that they've got to step forward. Yeah. It is once again that call, to our lives. Where are you?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we do is that, on the giving side of things, and we put the responsibility on somebody to say, well, you may be feeling sick today, or I don't feel like getting up to do sandwiches for the needy. What's your responsibility? It won't be done. Then that person, that kid in the school around the corner, won't get their sandwich unless you come and make it.
Ah.
So there's this tension of helping an older person and facilitating everything and doing things for them versus actually stepping back a bit and let them do things that will keep them mentally, emotionally, physically more able and actually live longer and better quality mm-hmm. of life. And that's a nuance that has started happening in this whole aged care arena, mm-hmm. as opposed to being a provider of everything and you and really just very structured and rigorous so that you can have time off. It's not that anymore. It's actually facilitating an environment where people can have time on and really get to be active emotionally, physically, and giving.
Interactive.
Exactly.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program on 101.9 High FM. My guest today is Michael Seep, and as always, time is going very quickly. I just wanted to tell you about kindness for a moment. I was once moving my mother-in-law's, we were moving her into frail care, and her daughter was busy packing up, and I was pushing this trolley to frail care, and the trolley was packed very high with pillows and what have you, and it was actually her walker that I'd right. packed everything on top of. And I was trying to find the zone that she was going to. And as I saw this woman, a very nicely dressed woman, smiling away at me, and I said, I wonder if you could tell me where this place is. She said, I'm sorry, my dear, I really don't know, but I do like your walker. So just then a nurse came out and said, so don't worry about her. She actually doesn't even know where she is.
Right.
And I thought to myself, she might not know where she is, but she still remembers to be kind
right.
and generous in giving a person, a compliment about the walker.
Yes.
And I think that's what we need to look at when we do age.
Yeah.
We still have that capacity to reach out to be kind. And I just wanted to tell you a story that Rabbi Jonathan Sacks tells. And he says, in 1966, an 11-year-old black boy moved with his parents and a family to a white neighborhood in Washington. He's sitting with his two brothers and two sisters on the front step of the house. He waited to see if they would be greeted. They were not. Passers-by turned to look at them, but no one even gave them a smile or even a glance of recognition. He had heard fearful stories about why whites treated blacks, and this seemed to be coming true. As he was thinking about this, a white woman coming home from work passed by on the other side of the road, and she turned to the children and she said, "Welcome." She then went into her house, and she came out a bit later with a tray with drinks and sandwiches, and gave them to the children.
Right.
The young man was Stephen Carter, eventually became a law professor at Yale, and wrote a book about what he learned that day. He called it Civility. The name of the woman, he tells us, was Sarah Kirstenbaum, and she died all too young, he said. But he adds that there was no coincidence that she was a religious Jew. I thought I'd bring this in, especially right now facing anti-Semitism. He said there was no coincidence that she was a religious Jew, because in the religious tradition, such civility is called chesed, the doing of acts of kindness.
Amazing.
Isn't that a beautiful story?
It is. I mean, that, and related to the kindness story, that we don't consider enough the impact that we have.
Absolutely.
That we can have. On the negative side, you know, we can have as much impact, unfortunately, but certainly small gestures, you know, making a comment about, you know, somebody looking good, whatever the case is, you know, and actually just a genuine element of kindness doesn't take too much effort. A smile, a greeting.
Exactly.
You know, and I think it's a huge, huge impact.
Rabbi Abraham Heschel used to say, when I was young, I admired cleverness. Now that I'm old, I find I admire kindness more.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I'm sure you find it also in your work through the years, Mike. There's some people who come in with this dreadful energy.
Yes.
And they like to share it with the world.
I think, I mean, they say in the corporate world as well, like, and just generally, negative news, you know, spreads 7 times faster than positive news, or whatever the number is. It's really that much. People would much prefer to kibitz and have the corridor talk in the corporate world, and, you know, all the negative side rather than the positive. And that's to say on professionals. But if you take it to actual care facilities and talk about our residents themselves, well, sometimes they can get hooked in to the negativity. What I found at Circle, and in fact yesterday I had a great session with individuals of our residents, and they were giving me feedback, and I take it as feedback, because it was criticism, but all of them, you know, were saying how lucky and how lovely it is to be there, but here is an element to, you know, here is something to look at. And we never say we're perfect, you know, and we are feedback fit, and all of us should be, so that we can take it if it's given in the right way.
Absolutely.
And that, I think, is really important when we're giving or receiving feedback, criticism. You know, I think it's a matter of framing it in a way that actually is constructive and conducive to the solution.
And doesn't demean the person that you're giving it to.
Exactly. And I suppose ultimately on a religious level and Lashon Hara and all of these things, why it's such an important thing to avoid is because that cycle is so damaging to the individual, even if they're not in the room, you know, even as a perception of that person because you said something. You know, so I think the focus in you know, Jewish law of Lashon Hara, speaking badly about somebody, as well as on the counter side of doing acts of chesed, of acts of kindness, you know, how to avoid one and to increase the other. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, a recipe for a constructive community and life for an individual. And I think what happens as we get older, and I love that quote, that actually, you know, the kindness matters more when you're older. Maybe you get a bit more perspective. You say, hang on, actually, what was I chasing all the time? Or, you know, what is so impressive? Wow, that person may not get all the awards and may not, you know, but that act of kindness, that has a real impact.
Absolutely. And it's something that you will remember, just like people remember when people have hurt them.
Correct.
You know, it kind of goes into your psyche.
Yeah.
I do believe that someone who has lifted you up has more of an impression on your psyche, and it gives you that resilience also to go on. And I think resilience is very big in as we age.
Yes.
How do you find resilience?
I think, I mean, it is definitely a word that has become more popular, you know, building resilience and the art of, or the science of building resilience. Because on one level, I think, you know, previous generations, they were resilient, but in a different way. Maybe because they didn't tap into their emotions, or maybe, you know, there's negative sides of that. But they also wouldn't complain if their cafe latte wasn't, you know, they had to go in, you know. So I think we become a bit spoiled and a bit too fussy. So therefore, we have to build this resilience, because when actually the real things hurt and matter, we do need to be able to deal with it. And I think we've gone soft in that way. So I think we do need to build that up. And there is a real science to do that. And there are techniques, whether it's reframing, as you said, whether it's actually, you know, being exposed to it, or having different models to try out. And why not when you have time? I mean, a bit earlier on in the news, they refer to didn't hear the person's name, but some Nobel Peace Prize winner said happiness is the use of time. So throughout our lives, there are different times when you do have more or less time, or you're so busy. I think if you want something done, ask a busy person, they'll get it done.
Absolutely.
So happiness is really the use of time, and if you can use your time, and as you get older, you may have more time because you've got different, you know, pressures, and the use of that time will bring happiness, and that's what we need to try and actually fill that time with meaningful things.
And you know, I remember walking into a lounge once in a retirement home, and I was actually with my mom at the time, and she said, "Give them a miss." I said, "Who?" She said, "That table over there." She kind of, you know, she smiled and waved at them, kind of as she was telling me out of the side of her mouth to give them a
smile
miss.
Smile and wave is also a great thing for love.
We're going to get back to that in a minute.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program, and my guest today is Michael Seif, and I must just tell you that Mark is actually related to me. He is married to my niece Amanda, so he is my nephew-in-law.
I'll just call you my aunt, Sue. Thanks for the disclaimer. We should have said so earlier. But
aunt, does aunt perhaps age? Does that sound a bit aged?
It's not Tani, it's aunt.
You know, Mike, there's a thing that you are not your trauma, you are not your past, you are your resilience.
Right.
And even Frankl says, we're not the stubble fields of our past.
Yes.
We are the full granaries of our past. And that's what we need to look at, the fullness. What actually brought us to this point? Because resilience in age is a very real thing that we are asked to do. Because by the time you age, you've lost a lot. You know, you've lost friends, you've lost physical abilities. So that there are emotional losses, physical losses.
Yeah, and I mean that is, it's a beautiful imagery, and I think it's true, because we are much more than just our current state, you know, and we can sometimes get really focused on our current losses, and therefore that is me.
I just have to get back to my mother's story.
Yes.
So she said, "Don't look at them, just quickly give them a and she waved.
Walk and wave,
yeah. Yes. And I said, "You're so hypocritical." So she said, "No, you go near them. All they want to tell you about is what's wrong with the life, with the place where they were living." And she said, "I can't stand it." Yeah. And also with the waiters and everybody else, you know.
I think it's interesting that throughout our lives, that, you know, you come across different people and different, you know, negative, positive people. And I think what happens when you age, you just don't hide it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, the social norm is, it's okay, I'm negative and I'm going to be negative. So even if you were during the corporate environment, if you want to avoid the passive talk and the negativity, even more so when you're older, if you're, you know, sitting on that side of the fence.
So true.
Yeah. But I do think that it's hard work, you know, resilience. Resilience is hard work, and it doesn't just happen.
No, so, you've got to work at it, quite honestly. Some people are luckier, you know, the ability to stand up to that adversity and to bounce back. Sure. That's something that we're often asked to do, to bounce back.
Yeah. And I mean, you know,
and sometimes it's in pain.
It's in, exactly, but it's still, the alternative is just to dwell in it and just be consumed by it, which again, sometimes is a reaction and can't be helped, or maybe time allows you know, it to heal. But the conscious decision, like we had that one message coming through, the conscious decision to be resilient, to address it, and to actually look at the positive side of things, I think is so important at all stages of our life, particularly as we get older.
And I think also, Mark, are you finding people are asking you different questions now, almost existential questions?
Yes. I mean, I mentioned yesterday that we had some feedback session, you know, but all of them spoke much more about the macro picture and the existential, whether it was of Israel, of people, how family is. All of that is much more important than just the complaint about, you know, whatever the specific item is. So I think people are actually realizing, and maybe it's a bit of training that we've gone through from COVID, from different traumas that society as a whole and the world has gone through, to actually see things in a better perspective. actually and more holistic. Unfortunately, we all got our stuff and we can easily forget that stuff and just get honed
in on
it.
That's back to choice again. Exactly. We've always got a choice.
And that choice is for ourselves and also who we interact with and where we want to spend that happiness, that use of time. Where do we want to spend most of our time?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mark, just give your email or your website out.
Okay, sure. Thanks. So it's Circle Senior Living. So the website is www.circleliving, one word, circleliving.co.za.
Okay, thank you. And because you're going to be rushing off just now, you know, I was reading this, Adapting to Tough Times, and it says resilience means being able to cope with tough events. Mm. That's what's being asked of us at the moment. And we are allowed to feel pain. We are allowed to feel anger. We are allowed to feel grief.
Sure.
And we're also allowed to feel at times that we're very alone.
Yes.
Because it is individual. That, you know, the pain that you might be feeling is an individual pain. And it drives me mad when someone says, I know exactly how you're feeling.
Yeah, nobody knows exactly. And I think that sense of being vulnerable is okay as well. Mm. You know, to be vulnerable, but to ultimately work through it so that we can move on. I mean, we started by saying, you know, that feeling of being redundant and the feeling of being lonely and just overwhelmed with this negativity. And I think the antidote to that is a sense of community, a sense of actually purpose and of safety, and going through the tough stuff of reframing and actually making these resilient choices.
Very definitely. And I think, you know, belonging to a community is amazing, and that's where we are so lucky. And Craig's telling me to wrap up. We've got a song, it's called Turn, Turn by the Birds. You'll remember that.
Okay. Yeah.
And you can pick that up on the website. It won't be on our website. Mark was with me last year at this time. It was in May 2023. So if you'd like to actually hear that, please just go into podcasts. And I would love to end with this African proverb. The youth walk faster, but the elderly know the road.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amazing. Beautiful.
How would you like to end?
Yeah. I just want to say thank you, Sue. Thank you to you and to the listeners and everybody making this available. It's really, I think we're at a turning point for, as a community and as a society, to actually be able to facilitate the next generation to grow and to succeed even more than before. So I think that's our challenge, and we're so excited to take that on.
Wonderful. To always go on finding our why and our purpose. Thank you, Craig.